Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Erev Daf Chaf Hei. We're two lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Karfif Yosin Beis Osayim. We have this Karfif, this enclosure, this non-residential enclosure, which is larger in size than Tusa, Shalayuka Fladira. It wasn't enclosed for the sake of a residential purpose. Now he's coming to lessen the surface area, to bring it down to the two sa'ah limit. Mia to be lonois, if he tried to do it by planting trees in this karfif, resulting in a somewhat of a smaller surface area, to bring it down to two sa'ah, lo yav a miut. It's not considered to be a miut. He's not lessening anything, but because the lonois are part and parcel of this karfif. Rashi says it's a derech to have trees in a karfif. Therefore, they're bottled to the karfif. The actual space that the trees take up are not deducted from the total area size of this karfif. And therefore, it remains a karfif, which is greater in size than Tusa. However, bana by amud, let's say he built a post in this karfif, Gavaya Sora, 10 tfachim high, Verachim dalad, and 4 tfachim wide. So it's a very large size, significantly sized post. That does affect a deduction, a lessening of the total space, the surface area of the karfif, because this post is an elevated area, has a different type of designation and function than the rest of the surface area of the karfif, and therefore it deducts, it lessens from the total size of the karfif. It's going to be a different type of area. So when we measure how large is the karfif now, it's not greater than Tusa. Says the Gemara, if it's Gavaya Sora, Berachav Dalet, 10 Tvachim High, 4 Tvachim Wide, in which case it is regarded as a significantly sized post and surface area, Have a Miut. It's effective to go ahead and lessen the total space of the karfif. Pachas Megimu. But let's say the surface area of this amud is narrower than 3 tefachim, in which case it falls within the limits of lavud. Generally, less than 3 is not something we reckon with, and therefore in this case, lo yav a miut. It doesn't do anything to lessen the total surface area of the karfif. Megim of adalad, let's say it's anywhere from 3 tefachim to 4, so that's out of the lavud number, but it's not yet a shir chashav, which is generally attributed to 4 tefachim. A makam of 4 is considered a makam chashav. Somewhere in between, it's out of lavud, but has not yet reached the point of 4 tefachim. We have a machlekes. Rava amar hava miut. This as well can be mamayit, can be effective to lessen the size of the karfif, because since it's out of lavud, it has somewhat of a significance to it, and it's considered to be its own space, its own usage area, and it's not included in the total surface area of the karfif. V'rav amar lo yav miut. He maintains, since it's less than 4, it doesn't have the chashivas, it cannot be regarded as its own usage space, and it's batal to the rest of the karfif, and you have not really accomplished anything. Explains the Gemara, Rabba amar hav miut. It does affect a miut here, because it has already left the confines. It's beyond the share of lavud. It's past 3. So it has chashivas. Rav amar lo yav miut. No, there's no miut taking place. The kivan de lo yav makam dalet. Since it is not a makam, doesn't have a surface space of 4x4, tvachim lo chashiv, doesn't have prominence and significance, and therefore it cannot be regarded as its own surface area and is reckoned within the total shear of the karfif. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, 4 lines from the top. Vilonis lav miut. So this is the beginning of the Gemara where he tried to mimamait the makam of the karfif by planting trees, hoping that the space of the actual tree would be deducted from the total space of the karfif. The Gemara tells us that's not the case. Why? So explains Rashi, the derech karfif leaves by Vilonis. It is acceptable and customary for a karfif to have trees in it. Therefore, the trees that are present there don't go ahead and deduct anything from the size of the original karfif. They're considered to be part and parcel of the karfif. They're like bottled to the karfif. And the actual space of the that the tree takes up is still considered to be part of the karfif and is reckoned within the total space of the karfif. However, if he builds a post, which is an elevated surface which can serve a different function than the karfif, than the floor around it, so that depends on the size of the amud. Bona by amud v'afilu be'emtza, even in the middle of the karfif. U'b'kach nismayin be'sasayim, by doing so, he lessened the total surface area from being larger than tusa, he brought it down to tusa. Pachas megimot tfachim, if the area is made less than 3 tfachim, afilu nismayin be'sasayim, even if he by building this amud, he effected a deduction. He went ahead and he lessened the total space, brought it down to tusa. Kimanda lesedami, says, though it doesn't exist, less than 3 tfachim is bottled to the karka, bottled to the karfif. We don't even notice it. The nafklim tereslovet, this is going on to the next case, where it's beyond 3 tfachim, but not yet reached 4 tfachim. Rabbi says it works. The nafklim tereslovet, kolayma. What he means to say is as follows. Because generally we attribute chashivas, prominence, to something which is 3 tfachim in size. L'meifak mitoris lovet. It leaves the restriction of lovet. It's no longer lovet. Meaning we view it, we notice it. Hilka hachinami chashiv le'batel. Therefore, in this case as well, it's considered to be something of prominence. It's chashiv. And it's not batel to the surrounding area, and therefore you will deduct the surface space, surface area of that amud from the total area of the karfif. And if it brings it down to the acceptable limit of tusa, then you can carry it throughout the karfif. Continues the Gemara. What if he goes ahead and he actually tries to rebuild the enclosure? Now he's not going to knock down the original mechitzas. Rather, he's going to add a new mechitza within the surface here, within the enclosure of this karfif. So this karfif is surrounded by 4 mechitzas, which were not constructed l'shem dira, for the sake of residency. So now he's going to create a new mechitza inside this enclosure, alongside the interior surface of one of those mechitzas, hoping that this new mechitza, which is being done l'shem dira, is going to change the status of the entire enclosure. Because now it has, at least on one side, a mechitza which was l'shem dira. Says the Gemara, it depends where he built that mechitza. If he built it too close to the original mechitza, right inside the original mechitza, he didn't do anything, it's just a redundant mechitza there. Halachically, this doesn't have a din of a mechitza. But if he spaced it far enough, he pulled it into the karfif far enough from the original mechitza. So you have the original mechitza, and then the new mechitza is pulled inward into the surface area, into the enclosure of the karfif, far enough from the original mechitza, where api halacha we consider it to be a proper mechitza. Now this mechitza, which was done l'shem dira, will transform the entire enclosure within it to be considered a makayim, which is hukav l'dira. Explains the Gemara. Here chik min ha-koysel dalit. If he built a new wall at a distance of 4 tfachim from the original wall. So he pulled in the new wall into the surface, into the enclosure of this karfif. He pulled it away from the original wall, 4 tfachim, which is a sheer chashiv. Generally speaking, a mechitza which creates a partition for 4 tfachim is considered to be halachically a valid mechitza. So here he makes a dal vasa mechitza hayil. That's effective. He has now firstly enclosed this karfif l'shem dira, and it's considered to be a residential enclosure. Pachas megimel. What if it's within 3 tfachim of the original mechitza? Less than 3 tfachim is lovet. It's as though it's connected, part and parcel of the original mechitza. He has not yet created any new mechitza. Lo yhoyel, it's totally ineffective. Megimel v'adalet. What if it's anywhere from 3 to 4? Then we have that original machlokes, Rabba Amar hoyel, it's effective. Rabba Amar leinemel, it's ineffective, as the Gemara explains. Rabba Mahoyel, it works. Toh nafak lemiteres lovet. Because once it's past 3 tfachim, it leaves the share of lovet. And therefore, we reckon with it, we notice it. So, although generally speaking, A mechitza needs to accomplish something. It needs to create an enclosure for tefachim, which in this case doesn't do. However, perhaps when it comes to the concept of hukav l'dira, it's different. Here we're merely trying to modify the karfe. We're trying to enhance the enclosure l'shein dira. So perhaps we don't require, we don't need to conform to the general guideline of a mechitza, which needs to be on four tefachim. In this case, Rava will hold, even if it's less than four tefachim, as long as it's out of the three tefachim lavad, we already notice it. And it's sufficient to affect an enhancement, to consider to be a modification on the karpif within it. It's considered to have enhanced it and benefited and improved it and created the dira aspect here, due to the fact that we have this additional mechitza, which is somewhat being reckoned with. That's Rabba's sheet. Rava Ma'ein Amayel doesn't work, given lo yahavi makam dalid, lo yachashiv, since he's not partitioning in makam dalid because it's within four tefachim, the original wall. So al pi din, al pi halacha, doesn't seem to be a creation of a new mechitza here. Therefore, we must conform with the general guidelines of mechitza. Since it's not considered proper mechitza, it will not affect any change. It will not create any transformation on this karfif, and it will not be considered to be a newly enclosed area l'shem dir. So this is the first version of the Gemara. Again, less than three, all agree, is not reckoned with. It's lavad. Beyond four, all agree, it's a makam chashem, and certainly is reckoned with. Between three and four, if machlekes, Rabbi says it works, Rabbi says it doesn't work. So Rabbi holds, as long as it's somewhat reckoned with, that's enough. Rabbi says, you need to create a new makam to change, to transform, take something old and transform it anew. You need to create something new, a makam dalit, which you don't have in this case. This is the first version of Simi Masin the Kula. He had a different version, a more lenient version of the Machlekes. As Rashi explains, he learned as follows. If it's anywhere past three, past lavad, all agree, that's enough. Because although he didn't create something anew, it's just past lavad, it's not yet four. That's enough to transform, to change the makim from a non-dira makim to add that element of dira to it. It's important enough. Something which is greater than three has somewhat of an importance, and therefore it can contribute. It can provide that dira element, a dira ingredient to the enclosure. But if it's less than three, in which case it falls within the limits of lavad, here is the machlekes. Rava says, even in this case it works. Rava says it doesn't. So Rava will understand, less than lavad is not reckoned with. What does Rava hold? Rava says, even if it's within lavad, we don't even notice it. Here it's different, because all we need is a slight improvement on this hekif, slight improvement on this enclosure. You don't need to reconstruct those mechitzas. You need to indicate in somewhat way that it's now being designated l'shem dira. So if you add this wall, even if it's within three to the previous wall, that is enough to contribute that dira element to this enclosure. The same thing regarding that post we mentioned earlier, which was trying to lessen the surface area of this karfif. If he holds it, even if it's less than three tefachim, that's enough. Because, bottom line, it's a separate area, it's a post, it's not really part and parcel of a surrounding area, therefore, it's enough when it comes to the sheer base of Sayim. Since it's not viewed together with the surrounding area, it's an elevated area, it's enough. For the din of base of Sayim, we don't consider it to be an area greater than base of Sayim because we deduct that surface area despite the fact it's less than 3 tefach. Continues the Gemara. He's going to try to lessen the surface area of the karfe, bring it down to 2 sa, by adding a layer of cement to the interior surface of the enclosing walls, of the surrounding walls around this karfe. Toch by tit. So he smears a layer of cement to the inner surface of the wall, which is surrounding the karfe, which is right now greater in size than 2 sa. By smearing that tit, he's trying to lessen the surface area, bring it down to 2 sa. So it depends. Toch by tit, v'yochel lamad fnei atzmai. If this tit has the ability, it's strong enough, it can sustain itself, stand on its own, even if it would not be leaning on that wall. It would stand. Have a miut. This is effective and it affects miut. It makes the area into a smaller size. However, if the tit cannot, doesn't have the ability to stand on its own, it only stands because it's leaning, it's attached, it's pasted onto the previous, onto the former wall. They have a machlekes. Rava mava miut. Even in this case, it can go ahead and lessen the total surface area of the karfif because the usage area has been lessened. It's now smaller in size. Rava mar leva miut. Since the tit cannot stand on its own, merely because it's being supported by the former wall, that's why it's standing. Lo yhav a miut, we don't reckon with it, it's butthole to the original wall, and we don't deduct the tit area from the total space, and therefore it retains its large size status greater than tuso. Explains the Gemara. Rava mahav a miut, even this tit, which needs to be supported by that wall, it will be mamait, the total surface area, hashtamiya koi. Right now, is it standing yet? So right now, it's lessening the surface area, it's part of the structure, and the interior space of this karfif right now has been brought down to the limit of tuso. Rava marlava mute. It cannot be mamait, the surface of the karfif. Kiven de la yochel, I make him fnei atzmoi. Since it doesn't have the ability to stand on its own, loiklumu, it's not worth anything. We don't reckon with it. It's like butthole to that wall, and therefore it doesn't do anything to deduct from the total surface area of this karfif. Continues the Gemara. Hirchak mina tel dalit. Let's say he has a karfif, this enclosure, which was not l'shem dir and was greater in size than tusa, and now he's going to try to reconfigure those mechitzes. He's going to create a new mechitza to create a makom dir. How's he going to do it? We're speaking about an enclosure which has three mechitzes around it, three proper mechitzes. And on the fourth side is a tel, this hill, which creates a mechitza for the fourth side. Now, he's going to make a mechitza, a new mechitza, l'shem dir, for the sake of residency, and he's going to run it alongside the interior surface of that tail, meaning within the enclosure, within the karfif. He's going to build a new mechitza, l'shem dira, alongside the tail, which will create a substitution for the tail. Instead of the tail now being the fourth wall of the karfif, this mechitza, which is going to be built within that tail, along the interior surface of that tail, within the karfif, will now take the place of the tel, will be considered a new mechitza, the fourth wall of this karfif. Now since this mechitza is being done l'shem dir, for the sake of residing within this karfif, this karfif now will attain new status of makim hukav l'dira, and despite its large size, one should be able to carry within it. Says the Gemara, hirchik mina tel dalet. So if this new mechitza was placed at a distance of 4 tfachim, which is a makam chashiv, from the interior surface of that mount, and he made a mechitza there, it's effective. It's a new mechitza, it's a new enclosure, and now this karfif has been turned to a makam hukav ladira, and tiltil is allowed. Pachas megimel, what if it's situated less than 3 tfachim from that mount, less than lavud, in which case, it's merely a redundant mechitza, it's not considered to be a new mechitza, it's like part and parcel of that tail. Oy al svasa tail. Or, let's say it was up on top of the mound. So we have the karfif with three mechitzas. We have the mound on the fourth side. He builds a mechitza on top of that mound, which is already a mechitza on its own. He hasn't done anything. Because it's a mechitza on top of a mechitza. So, logically speaking, this is not considered a mechitza. So, as well, we have a machlekes. So if you made it pachas megimel or al svas hatel, on the ridge of the tail itself, in which case it's actually a mechitza on top of another mechitza. Now the top mechitza is being done l'shem dira. Problem is, there's already a mechitza right in that same spot. So what do you accomplish? Rav machlekes. Rav Chizda, Rav Amnuna. Rav machlekes between Rav Chizda and Rav Amnuna, chad amahoyl. One says, even in this case it works. Because although it's a mechitza right next to another mechitza, or on top of another mechitza, in which case, halachically speaking, he hasn't really created a new mechitza. But it will work pertaining to the karfif, to make it into a makom mukvel adira. Because here we don't really need a mechitza to conform to the general guidelines of mechitza according to one of these shittas. Because he's merely trying to turn this place into a hukah for the dira. So merely redesigning those mechitzas, just providing an enhancement on those pre-existing mechitzas, where this enhancement is l'shem dira, that is sufficient to transform this enclosure into makom mukvel adira. That's the svara of this shit. Chadamar hoyel, even in this case, it's effective. But chadamar loy hoyel, the other shit says, no, it's ineffective, because al pi halacha, this mechitza, which is sitting on top of another mechitza, is worthless. Therefore, he has not done anything to affect change on this karfif. So, machlekes and Rav Chizda and Rav Huna, we're not sure who says what. Says with this time, you can actually conclude that Rav Chizda amar hoyel, he's the one that says that it works. The Itma, as we learned, ha'isim mechitza gam mechitza. If one constructs a mechitza on top of another mechitza, amar Rav Chizda b'Shabbos hoyel. When it comes to Shabbos, such as in our case, it's effective. It turns the enclosure into a makom mukvel adira and can carry throughout it despite its large size. That's regarding Shabbos. But nichse hager loikana. Rav Chizda agrees. When it comes to doing a kinyan by the nechosim of a ger, by the unattended possessions of a ger who passed away, his possessions become hefker. So if a person wants to be kinyan, wants to acquire this land, he must make a proper kinyan of chazakah, something which actually benefits the land, like plowing the land or creating a mechitza around it, which is an expression of ownership. So if Chizda will agree, if there's a pre-existing mechitza around this land and he simply plants another mechitza on top of it, that doesn't provide any benefit to the land. He's not enclosing, it's already pre-enclosed. So it's not considered to be a masa kinyan. He will not be kinyan. So if Chizda agrees over there, but when it comes to Shabbos, when it comes to reconstructing, to modifying the mechitzas around the karfif, to turn it into a makom mukvel adira, even a mechitza dav mechitza is enough of a modification, of an enhancement, to create a makom mukvel adira. So apparently Rav Chizda is the one that holds that a mechitza gam mechitza works. That's the raya we're trying to prove. Rav Chizda was a shita that holds it works. Rav Sheshi Samar, no, af b'Shabbos nami loy hoyel, even when it comes to Shabbos, this mechitza on top of another mechitza isn't effective. That's the Gemara this time. Indeed, we have a conclusion from here. We have clarity. The Rav Chizda is the man the Amr that holds that it works. Amr Rav Chizda, umayil Rav Sheshes. You know, Rav Sheshes, although he holds that generally a mechitza tav mechitza, will not be effective to turn this karfif into a residential enclosure. He would agree in the following case. Shem osa mechitza al ratel shehoyil. Let's say he's trying to surround the actual mound. So we have a mound which is lifted from the area around it at a height of 10 tefachim. That in itself is a siddur mechitza, which creates a shesiyachet on the top surface of the tail. Let's say we have a very large size tail, greater than 2 sah, which was not hukaf l'dira. Now he's going to plant a mechitza on top of that tail, right alongside the edges. Even though technically speaking, it's a mechitza on top of mechitza, because this tail itself has been already elevated a shear of 10 tefachim, which that itself is considered a mechitza. But placing a mechitza on top of that ridge, on top of the svasa tail, even if sheshes would agree, creates a new enclosure for the surface on top of the tail. It makes a makom mukvel adira if it was done for the sake of a residential purpose. Why? Why would sheshes agree in this case? Although sheshes generally hold a mechitza on top of mechitza is worthless. But that's only when you're trying to affect change to the surface below. For instance, in the case of the karfif we discussed, we have a large area, a flat area, which was already enclosed by a mechitza. You place a mechitza on top of that mechitza, you haven't done anything for the surface below, which has already experienced enclosure. It's already been mukav to the mechitzas, to the lower mechitzas. The upper mechitzas are ineffective, not benefiting the ground below in any way. But when it comes to the top of the tail, which doesn't really have a gate around it. So these people sitting up there, they experience the benefit of the new mechitza, which is surrounding the top surface of that tail. So halachically speaking, the surface of the tail was already considered to be enclosed by the mere fact that it was elevated from the ground around it. But adding that machitza adds something, contributes to the residence on the surface of the tail, and therefore, since it was done l'shem dira, from here on in, the surface of the tail is considered to be makom mukuf l'dira. Says the Gemara, Moidler of Sheshir, if Sheshir would agree to me, Shem also machitza al ha-tail, if he created another machitza on the tail, alongside the ridge of the tail, Shehoyel, it is certainly effective, my time, why? Hoyel uba'avir mechitzes halyoynes hudar. Since the fellow residing on the surface of the tail, he is residing ba'avir mechitzes halyoynes, within the airspace of the upper mechitzes. He sees them, he experiences them, he enjoys them, he has from them. Therefore, they certainly positively affect the surface of the tel and turn it into a makom mukuf l'dira. By Rabba Bar Chana, according to the Shita that holds that mechitza on top of mechitza is ineffective, what about the following case? There was a mechitza, he built another mechitza on top of it, and nivlu mechitza satachtoines. It was sitting on soft earth, and the bottom mechitzes got swallowed and sunk into the ground, and only the upper mechitzes are right now existing and in place. Those upper mechitzes were created l'shem dira. No, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara, pertaining to what halacha are we asking? L'mai, ilu nechse ager is a discussion regarding being kind of the nechasam, the ger as mentioned earlier, the ger that died without yarshim. Now his nechasam are considered to be ownerless, so one would like to make a kinyan to acquire his possessions. So there was a field with a mechitza, and he built a mechitza on top of that mechitza, which the Gemara before tells us that upper mechitza is ineffective. Now, what happens if the lower mechitzas get sunk into the ground, and the upper mechitzas are the sole remaining mechitzas? Has his fellow done a kinyan? The fact that he built those mechitzas, which are now the sole existing mechitzas, is that sufficient to provide him ownership, acquisition of this field? Says Gemara, "Hainu do Yirmei Bira." This is similar to the case that Halacha taught to us by Yirmei Bira, who told us, "No, the kinyan must happen at the time of the act of the maaser, since at the point in time that he built that mechitzas, it was a mechitza on top of a mechitza and ineffective, not sufficient to be considered a kinyan. So, although eventually things developed in a manner where the sole remaining mechitzas were the ones that he built, that's insufficient to be kinyan the nechasam of the ger." Let's see the Gemara. The Omar Yirma Bira, Omar Biyuda. Haiman the Shada Lifta. Want to toss as a turnip seed, a pila the ara de ger, into a pre-existing pit or crack in the land of the ger who passed away. So he didn't really touch the land. He didn't plow it. He didn't really do a kinyan. He just threw a pit in there, a seed, so that eventually it could take root and grow. So this act is not a master kinyan. It doesn't benefit the land. So at this point, there was no kinyan. V'asi Yisrael achrina, and another Yisrael came along, Rafik Bepurta. He plowed a bit in the land, which is a masa kinyan, which benefits directly the land. Basra kani, kamaloi kani. The second fellow was kinyan, because he did a proper kinyan. But the original fellow did not do any kinyan, and therefore, he is not kinyan. So Basra Kani, the second one is Kaina, and the first one is like Kaina, is not Kaina. Although his turnip is going to blossom and grow and certainly benefit the land. My time of why was the first one not Kaina? Be'idna the Shoda. At the point in time when he threw that seed in there, like a Shavach, he didn't benefit the land. There was no Shavach applied to this land. Kika Shavcha. Eventually, when there was a Shavach, when his plant grew and blossomed, when the land benefited from this plant, it was Memeluka Meshabcha. It was on its own. It just happened. It took root and it started growing. It wasn't a direct act on account of the first Yisrael. It wasn't a display of ownership. It wasn't an act of kinyan. So even though it happens later, that's not really his doing directly. Therefore, he has not done any kinyan. Rather, the second fellow came along and plowed just a little bit. He was kind. So getting back to our case where we planted the mechitza on top of another mechitza, which at that point in time was not considered a kinyan, because it was just a redundant mechitza. So although the original mechitza sunk into the ground, leaving just the upper mechitza intact, That's something which happens with Mela. It's not a direct act upon which was affected by that first Yisrael, which was accomplished by the original person, and therefore it's not considered to be a Maaseh Kinyan. So regarding Nichsa Ger, this is clear, it wouldn't work. Are you asking regarding Shabbos? Meaning, the Gemara at this point figures, certainly during ordinary weekday, this will work. So if he goes ahead and builds a mechitza, l'shem dira, on top of a pre-existing mechitza, which was not l'shem dira, and it's a Thursday afternoon, the original mechitza sinks into the ground, leaving the upper mechitza intact. Certainly, come Shabbos, this area is a karf v'hukif l'dira, and one can carry throughout it, despite its large size. The question is, let's say this happened on Shabbos itself. The lower mechitzas sunk into the ground, like the wall around Yericho, leaving the upper mechitzas intact. Shall we say, well, it's like a newly constructed mechitza around an area. So all this place was already previously enclosed by the original mechitza, but it wasn't a Shem Dira. It now acquired a new type of mechitza, a Dira mechitza. Should we consider this to be a newly constructed mechitza which took place on Shabbos? It might be problematic. It says Gemara, Ve'elu inyan Shabbos, have a mechitza hanasa b'Shabbos. It should be regarded like a mechitza which was constructed on Shabbos. And therefore, is that the question here? And we learned in a Braisa, that certainly works. With Tanya kol mechitza hanasa b'Shabbos, being b'shoyi being b'mezit, shema mechitza. Whether b'shoyi b'mezit, a mechitza constructed on Shabbos, even if it was done by Isser, fact is, you have a mechitza here, and can carry throughout the mechitza. So in this case as well, a mechitza which was done on Shabbos, certainly in this manner, which was memela, it happened on its own, mechitza is considered to be a proper mechitza. This makam is hukav l'dira, due to the fact that the upper mechitzas, which are now the solely standing mechitzas, are dira mechitzas. Sounds like more, but it's not so simple. Love itmar lo. Haven't we learned a pshat on this price? Amar of Nachum lo yishanu. The allowance to use mechitzas which were constructed on Shabbos is only elalizrik, only minat Torah. It's considered to be a proper enclosure. Shayachid, for instance, if one throws an object into this area from a shesuram mischayev, aval letaltal asim. But midrash rabbanu, we don't consider this to be a mechitza. For instance, letaltal to carry throughout this entire enclosure. We don't consider this to be a proper sayachit. Says Gemara, no. Ki etmar, Rav Nachman, amazed etmar. Rav Nachman was referring specifically to a case where one constructed those mechitzas on Shabbos, amazed intentionally to do an iser, he did an iser. Therefore, this is a knas. Apparently, you cannot carry throughout these mechitzas. But otherwise, mechitzas are certainly valid, even for the sake of carrying within them. So the Gemara concludes that in our case, where the bottom mechitzas sunk into the ground on Shabbos, leaving the upper mechitzas in place, since those mechitzas were constructed the shem dira, this karfif now is a mokim hukif l'dira and is muta betilta. Continues the Gemara on the topic of the nichsei hager, which requires a proper kinyan. Hayitzisa, there was a story with this woman. The avda mechitza al gav mechitza b'nichsei hager. She constructed one mechitza on top of another mechitza, which was enclosing the nichsei hager. And her intent was to acquire the nechasim in this manner. So what happened? Asa ugavra. This other person came along, Rafa Gwapurta, he plowed a bit in the karka for the sake of being kind. Asal Kameda Rav Nachman. So he came before Rav Nachman. Ukma biyade. He granted the land to this fellow because he did a proper kinyan. He directly benefited the land by plowing. Asas I. So this woman came along, Vikot Safra, and she cried out to Rav Nachman. Katzafu kamei, before him, how can you give it to the other fellow? Look, I constructed this whole wall here to be kind of. Why are you giving it to him? Amar lo, Rav Nachman responded, my avid loch, what can I do for you? The machzakis, you didn't do a proper chazaka the way people customarily do, meaning your mechitza was useless and redundant. It was sitting on top of another mechitza. It wasn't benefiting the land whatsoever. It's not a proper kinyan. Therefore, I must give it. I must grant it to this other fellow who did a proper kinyan. Okay, so in conclusion, we spoke about a karfif, which was larger than tusa, which was not hukaf ladira. The Gemara tells us there are two methods that can be applied to allow carrying this karfif. Number one is called miut, lessening the total space of this karfif to bring it down to tusa. Number two will be creating a new mechitza, which was done for the sake of dira, which will transform this enclosure to a makam, which is hukaf ladir. Let's discuss mir first. So if he's going to try to do that by planting trees and lessening the total surface space of the karfif beside it, the Gemara says that's ineffective, because a karfif is meant to have trees. The trees are a fixed feature in a karfif and are bottled to the karfif, and therefore cannot be deducted from the total space of the karfif. What if we created this tall post? So if it's four tefachim wide, it's a makam chashav. It constitutes a new usage area and is not included in total surface area of the karfif beside it. Therefore, it deducts from its total size. If the amud is anywhere from 3 to 4 tefachim, we have achlekes. If it's less than 3, which is within the share of lavad, it's not reckoned with and is not memayit the share of the karfif. According to Rav Simi's approach, if it's between 3 and 4, we'll agree it's okay. If it's less than 3, then we have the machlekes. We have plaster which was pasted onto the interior surface of the pre-existing wall in order to be memayit the total surface area of the karfif. If the tit, if this plaster could stand by its own right, all agree it's effective. If it cannot stand by its own right, if it needs to be supported by the wall, we have a machlekes is whether or not it's effective. Regarding creating a new mechitza along the interior surface of the mechitza surrounding the karfif, this new mechitza will be l'shem dira, for residential purposes. Do we say that now it's been transformed into a residential enclosure? So it depends. If the space between the new and old mechitza is four tefachim, that's considered to be a makam chashev, a proper machitza, and therefore it's effective. If the space is between 3 and 4, we have machlekes. If it's less than 3, all agree it's ineffective. According to Rav Simi's approach, if it's between 3 and 4, we have machlekes. All agree it's okay. If it's less than 3, that's when we have the machlekes. All agree if he makes a machitza on top of this mound, on the edge of this tail, which is now properly enclosing the top portion of the tail, all agree. This has now become a makam hukaf ladira, because the upper machitzas, which are directly benefiting the members of the tail, was on the shem dira. Machitza holds, generally speaking, even a machitza on top of another machitza works in order to be considered makam hukaf ladira. All agree, when it comes to acquiring nichsi hager, placing a machitza on top of another pre-existing machitza is ineffective to be kind of the nechas. Continues the Gemara. Karfev beis shalish. What if we have this large karfif, 3 saw in size, too large, exceeds the limits of the beis asayim? And what did he do? V'kiro boi beis saw. He roofed, he placed a roof above 1 saw, a third of this karfif. Shall we say that he has now separated that beis saw from the rest, and now you have two parts of this karfif, unrelated to each other, each one within the limit, the permitted limit? This is beis saw, and the rest is only 2 saw, so you're okay? Or do we say it's considered to be still one large area which exceeds the limit of 2 saw? Rava, or some say Rava, Omar Avir Kiruye Miyatri. The space, the Avir underneath its roof, Miyatri, gets added to the rest of the area, meaning we consider it to be one large enclosure. You cannot separate between two portions. Rav Zera Omar, Ein avir kiruye miyatri, the space underneath the roof does not get added to the rest of the area, and therefore we have a roofed area which is merely a saw, small in size. We have the rest of the karfif which is merely 2 saw, and therefore it's within the limit and you can carry throughout it. He holds that underneath the roof is a separate area and it cannot be added to the rest and cannot result in a large size karfif. Says more lema, shall we say Rav of Rav Zera? This machlekes, v'plukta d'Rav Shmuel k'mifliki. They're actually having a similar machlekes, as we find between Rav and Shmuel, regarding a roofed area. The itma, as we learned, ach sadra bebika. Sadra is a freestanding, sailing, a terrace standing, supported by poles, sitting out in a bika, in a valley. This ach sadra has no machitzes whatsoever. Rav ama mutul tata bekula. One may carry underneath this ach sadra due to the fact that there's a sailing here. Shmuel Amar Eimatalton El Badal Damis. One cannot carry under this roofed area because it's a carless. Has no machitzas around it. Explains it more. Rav Amar Mutal Talta Bekula. One can carry throughout this achsadra. Amrinon Pi Tikra Yoyed V'Soysim. We apply the concept of a Pi Tikra, the mouth, the edge of that ceiling. Meaning, when you're facing a ceiling, so the ceiling has a front surface, which is a vertical surface. When you're facing it, it appears like you're entering a new area. That front surface, the edge of that front surface, appears like it's heading downward. descending, Yoyurd v'soysim. Tosis later explains it's like a Pesach. It makes that formation of an entranceway. It's not from Lachamash Sinai, and that creates an enclosure to the area underneath it. So Rav says we apply that concept here as well, even though we're merely speaking about a freestanding roof without any mechitzos. That roof is considered to be Yoyurd v'soysim. It creates that enclosure, and the space underneath it is Rishus HaYachad. Amrinan p'tikur Yoyurd v'soysim. Shmuel Amar, he says, no. Eimetalton el barba amas. You cannot carry underneath this achsadra, regarded as a karmless. You can only carry within four amas. Why? Lo ya'amrinan p'tikur Yoyurd v'soysim. We don't apply the concept of p'tikur, the edge of the ceiling, comes down and blocks off, because it's an unenclosed area. It's not a roof atop mechitzas. You need to at least have at least one mechitza. So the roof is roofing in a closed area, but no mechitza, a freestanding roof. It doesn't come down and close off the area. So apparently, says the Gemara, Rava, who told us that when we cover up a part of the karfif with a freestanding roof, underneath that karfif is considered to be a separate domain from the rest, and therefore is deducted from the total area space of this karfif, he holds, like Rav, that even in this case of a freestanding ceiling, we apply the concept of p'tikur yoyurd v'soysim. Whereas Reb Zera disagrees. He was like Shmuel. We will not consider this roof as though it's coming down. Therefore, the space underneath that roofed area connects itself with the rest of the karfif for a total of three saw, which exceeds the limit. Says the Gemara, not necessarily so. If this roof on top of the karfif was a properly constructed roof, was a flat roof, in which case we have that front surface of that roof facing you, and the lower and the edge of that surface appears to be heading downwards. Even Rava, whereas Rava would agree to Rav's shita that we apply p'tikur yoyurd v'soysim even in an unenclosed area which is covered by a roof. Hachinami, certainly Rava would hold like Rav that we consider to be an enclosed area. Hachemai eskinen, you know what we're speaking about over here? Our machlekes is between Rava and Zera by the karfif. We're not speaking about a flat roof. The avda kiar zila, it was fashioned like arzila is an addition to a home. So you have a flat roof, and then you have that addition with the roof going diagonally downward. So the bottom surface, the front surface of that roof, is not vertical. It's facing downward. So you can't apply the concept of p'tikur yoyurd v'soysim. It doesn't have that same effect like a flat surface facing you, which appears to be heading downward. And therefore, Rava maintains, in this case, you can't apply the concept. Generally, I agree to Rav. We apply that concept to a roofed area. This case is different. And therefore, we cannot separate the portion, the roof portion, from the rest of the karfif. And therefore, we have a total of three saw, and you're also to be metalt. Apparently, Rav Zera disagrees. He says, if it's underneath a roofed area, even if it's a slanty roof, it's considered to be a separate area from the rest, leaving you with two parts to this karfif. One is merely a size of saw, and one, two saw, and they're both mutter betalt. I agree, I will admit, in the following case, that it's awesome. We have a karfif which is merely two saw in size. But it was nifratz b'maloy l'chatz, it was breached entirely, meaning one of its walls was completely demolished. And now it's been exposed to a chatz, a courtyard. In this case, I agree, it's awesome. My time, why? Hoyle v'avir chatzar me yatroi. Because the airspace of the courtyard will be added to the karfif, which will now total a surface area of greater than two saw, and it's awesome. So although I disagree when it comes to a roofed area, I say, well, it's a separate area and it cannot be added to the total. But in this case, this karfif has now exceeded its limit because it's been exposed to a chotzer. And that surface gets added to the karfif, creating a large-sized karfif greater than two saw. Maskev l'Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef challenged this statement. Well, how can you say the karfif now is also? The chatzar is a makom hukav l'dira. It's enclosed for residential purposes. It cannot be added to the total area of lo hukav l'dira. Why would you say that? It's a residential enclosure. Now, perhaps there's another concern, because we have two areas adjacent to each other, which are breached to each other. Perhaps since they're two separate usage areas, where you cannot really transfer from one to the other, which is the Shitas Chacham, they hold even two outdoor areas, like a chatzar, a karfif, a gina, a roof. Outdoor usage areas are considered to be separately designated areas, and one cannot transfer a kli from one to the other. It's like taking from one shas to the other. It resembles Rishis Sarabim. That's Rishis Chacham. But Shita's Reb Shimon is that anything outdoors is not, doesn't have sufficient use, sufficient designation for personal use. It's not like a person's dwelling, like it's home. It's like an indoor area. An outdoor area is not so chashav, doesn't have prominent usage that we should be concerned regarding transferring from one type of area to the other. He holds all these different varieties of outdoor usage areas, a courtyard, a karfif, a gine, a gag. It's all considered to be one happy family. One can transfer freely from one to the other. So Rabbi Yosef challenged the statement of Zera. He says, what's wrong with a karfif being exposed to a chatzar? Since according to Rabbi Shimon, you can transfer one to the other, they don't interfere with each other. So even if it's probably breached to the chatzar, there'd be no reason to disallow carrying the karfif. So number one, the karfif is a makom hukav l'dira. It's a residential area. I will not increase the size of this karfif, shlo yukav l'dira. The chatzar doesn't relate to that. The chatzar is a residential area. The karfif itself is merely two sa'an size. So although the karfif was not hukav l'dira, but it's merely two sa'an, it's within the limits. So what's the problem? Is it because it's been exposed to a different type of usage area? V'chi avira mutaloi oisroi. Is the space of the chatzar, which is mutaloi, from which you can, to which you can transfer from the karfif, you can transfer back and forth. Chodesh Shimon, oisrei will be oiser the karfif. Why should it do so? What's the problem? So you challenge Rav Zeira's halacha. Amalei Abaye, k'man k'Rav Shimon. Are you working with Rav Shimon's concept that two outdoor areas are designated as one and the same, which allows transfer from one to the other, therefore there's no concern with this karfif, which is bisu achacha? Is that what you're basing your challenge on? Says Abaye, even according to Reb Shimon, there's a concern here. The Reb Shimon nami, ha'ika aver makom mechitzis. What about the space of the mechitzis themselves? The karfif was formerly probably enclosed, now lost its mechitza, was nifras l'chatzim. The chatzim itself doesn't pose any concern here. Doesn't interfere with the karfif whatsoever. The problem is that the size of the karfif has now been increased due to the fact that those mechitzas, which were formerly in existence, now disappeared. So the space of the mechitza itself now gets annexed to the karfif, resulting in a larger karfif, larger than two sa. It's a makam lokav ladira, larger than two sa, therefore it's awesome. That's the pshat of Zera, says Abaye. Ha'ika aver makam mechitzas. We have the space of the mechitzas, which gets added to the total area of the karfif. How do we know that the space of a mechitza, a place which featured, which hosted a mechitza, will be considered like part of the interior space of the karfif and will be added to the total? How do we know that concept is true? It says, Abaye, I'll bring you a right. The Amar Rav Chisda taught us this concept. Karfif shenifrats b'maloy l'chatz. So a similar case, we have a karfif which has been totally breached on one side to a chatzar. It says Rav Chisda, chatzar muteras. The karfif also, you can continue carrying the chatzar, but the karfif, due to the fact that it's been totally breached to the chatzar, you can no longer carry that karfif. Let's analyze Rav Chisda's halacha. Whose shita is he basing it on? Is he following the Rabbanan? Let's work with that. He holds that two outdoor areas are considered to be two separately designated areas where you cannot transfer one to the other. So that explains why the karfif can no longer carry, because he's exposed to a chatzar, which is a different type of area, and therefore the two areas interfere with each other and can no longer carry the karfif. However, in the chatzar, there's no concern, because let's remember the chatzar is wider than the karfif. Therefore, although the karfif has been totally exposed to the chatzar, lost its wall, but the chatzar still has some remnants of its wall, two overlapping portions on both sides of that karfif, on either side of that pirtza. Therefore, for the chatzar's sake, there's no pirtzah, it's merely a pesach. So the chatzar is considered to be adequately separated from the karfif, and therefore the chatzar can carry. Is that the pshat of Chisda? That's why the karfif can carry and the chatzar can? Chatzar, my timer. Why does Chisda tell us the chatzar is allowed to carry and the karfif not? Why is the chatzar different? The isla gufufi, because it has those overlaps on either side of the pirtzah, and that creates a pesach and separates the chatzar from the karfif. Is that the reason? Whereas the karfif doesn't have overlaps because it's a narrow karfif. Its wall has been completely breached. It's been completely exposed to the chatzar next to it. Is that an absolute fact? It's merely circumstantial. Sometimes you can have just the opposite. V'zimnin, sometimes the mishkachas l'ifcha. You find just the opposite. For instance, the karfif is wider than the chatzar. In which case, it's the chatzar who lost this entire wall. But the karfif has overlaps. So in this case, the karfif should be mutter, and the chatzar should be asa. So why is Rav Chisda stated as an unequivocal fact, an absolute halacha, that the chatzar is mutter, the karfif is asa? Depends on the circumstance. So apparently that's not the pshat of Rav Chisda. Apparently Rav Chisda is following Rav Shimon Shita. The fact that we have a karfif next to a chatzar, both outdoor areas, they don't interfere with each other. Ella, rather, mishum, why is the karfif asur? For an entirely different concern. Because the karfif has now been enlarged due to the fact that the machitza fell apart. The space of that former machitza gets added to the total area of the karfif, resulting in a large area of karfif greater than tusa, and therefore it's asur. Ella, mishum, namrina, ze, this, meaning the karfif, which cannot be large in Tusa because it's not Hukaf Ladira. Ze avir mechitzas miyatre, the space of the pre-existing wall that collapsed, gets added to the space of the karfif, resulting in a large karfif. Therefore it's also, regarding the chatzar, ze ein avir mechitzas miyatre, the space of the mechitzas do not get added, don't create a concern regarding the size of the chatzar, because the chatzar is a residential area, can be any size you want. So that's the pshat of Chizda. And this supports Rav Zera's halacha, who told us that the space of the form of machitza gets added to the space of the karfif, resulting in a larger karfif, larger than allowed. Continues the Gemara, who busted up? There was this orchard, which was behind the home. So it had three machitzas, and the fourth machitza was actually the back wall of the home, which was open to the backyard, which creates a heck of a ladira, a residential enclosure. How busted up? There was this orchard, the havas samach, leguda da padna, which was adjacent to the wall of this apadnas mansion. So the back wall of the mansion was actually the mechitza, the fourth mechitza of this orchard. So what happened? Nafal ashita, b'riyaisa d'apadna, the outer wall, ashita b'riyaisa, the outer wall, meaning this back wall, which was adjacent to the orchard, it collapsed. Now, we don't have that wall, but we have the other walls, the remaining walls of that mansion are still standing in existence. And right now they are going to be the fourth side of this enclosure. So Rabbi Lemeimer, Rabbi figured to say, Lismich, let's rely, Aguda Gviyasa, on those interior walls. Amalei Apapi, he didn't like this. Mishum Da'asu Mimuloi, because you come from the family which is cut off. Rabbi was the son of Abaye, you came from the family of Beis Eli, which were given a punishment to live short lives. So you came from a cut-off family. Because of that, Amrisu Milu Milyasa, you go and you relate cut-off things, improper statements, improper halachas. It's incorrect. You can't rely on those mechitzas. Why? Hanach mechitzas, those other walls, L'gavoy Avidan, they were formed and constructed for the interior of the home, not to serve as a mechitza for the backyard, for the orchard. L'veroy L'avidan, they weren't created for the outside, for the backyard, and therefore, they cannot be applied to the bustan of this backyard, to make it a mukha mukha ladira. So if the wall, which is actually bordering the bustana, collapsed, this bustana now no longer has a heck of ladira, and therefore you cannot carry throughout this bustana. Okay, time for a brief chazorah of today's daf. We began with a karfif, which was larger than tusa, which was not hukha ladira. We can apply two methods, either lessen the size of that karfif, or to actually create a new mechitza, which will make it a mukha mukha ladira. Gemara tells us trees don't do anything to the size. A post, if it's large and size significant, will actually affect change, because it will lessen the total area space of that karfif. If it's 4 tfachim in size, it works. Between 3 and 4, if machlekes, less than 3, it's ineffective. Kondev simi, between 3 and 4, it works. Less than 3, if machlekes. We plastered tit onto the interior surface of that wall. If it's freestanding tit, it can stand on its own, it works. If it cannot stand on its own, it needs to be supported by that wall, if machlekes. If we create a new mechitza within this enclosure, l'shem dira, if we distance it 4 tfachim from the pre-existing wall, all agrees that it works. Between 3 and 4, machlekes. Less than 3, all agree that mechitza is ineffective. According to Rav Simi, between 3 and 4 certainly works. Less than 3, machlekes. All agree if he places a mechitza at the edge of a tel, so he surrounds the upper surface of a mound with a mechitza, all agree. He has now made that tel into a mukha mukha ladira, and you can carry throughout that tail despite its large size. Rav Chisda maintains, even generally speaking, a mechitza on top of a mechitza works for Shabbos, works to make it a mukav mukav l'dira. When it comes to be koine, the nichsi ager, you need a proper kinyan, an effective kinyan which actually benefits the land, and therefore mechitza on top of mechitza is totally ineffective. Now what if he built a mechitza l'shem dira on top of a pre-existing mechitza, and that former mechitza sinks into the ground, leaving the upper mechitzas intact? When it comes to Shabbos, it's effective. But he can't be koine the nechasim of a ger in this manner, because at the time of the construction, it wasn't benefiting the land below. The Gemara spoke about a large-sized karfif, which was partially roofed. The Gemara concluded, Rav and Rav Zera both agree that if it's a flat roof, the roofed area is considered to be a separate entity from the rest of the karfif, and not reckoned within the total area space of the karfif. But if it's a slanty roof, according to Rav, it's ineffective. According to Rav Zera, even in this case, the roofed area is considered to be a separate portion. Even Rav Zera would agree that if a wall falls apart, it collapses, that space of that former mechitza gets added to the interior surface of the karfif, resulting in a large-sized karfif. And if it's greater than tusa, you cannot carry within it. The Gemara concludes that the wall adjacent to the bustana will only be effective if it was formed and constructed for the sake of enclosing that orchard. But you cannot use the rest of the mechitza of the home, which were constructed for the interior use of that home.